What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's Fightful Select. It's the Backstage Report. And it's January 3rd. We're getting this one out before Wrestle Kingdom for you guys. So I hope you guys like it. Hope you guys enjoy it. It's a good time. We got a lot of stuff here to talk about. How about New Japan? Rocky Romero has been an integral name in New Japan USA, if you could not tell already. We've had several names mentioned that he was the person that brought them into work and that he's known for his eye for talent. And we're told by those in New Japan that the company has been happy with the output from the show and the crop of talent that has appeared. Now, I noted recently that they did not want it out there that they are taping their shows in mass filmings. But they do seem happy with the output and the content provided, the eye for talent, all that good stuff that a guy like Rocky Romero provides and has just a wealth of experience in. They seem very thankful. The thing about Rocky Romero is, like, he's still in his mid-late 30s. I think he's 37, 38. So plenty in the tank, I would assume, as well. And it's been great getting to interview him a couple times this year as well. Like, that's something I never really got the opportunity to do until New Japan USA started and some people became a little bit more available. So hopefully in the new year, I can as well. How about Katsuyori Shibata? So he can't wrestle anymore, obviously, but he's still heavily involved in New Japan Pro Wrestling as a trainer at the LA Dojo. I spoke to Danny Limelight about Shibata's training method and said that the respected veteran is a perfectionist who hands out tough love and very stern training. Shibata is not cleared to wrestle and does not get too physical during these training sessions. But Limelight also said that he won't hesitate to get in the ring and show the trainees holds and guide them through things if he needs to. We've seen some pictures and videos of him training in the helmet that they have. Speaking of Danny Limelight, he was brought to AEW by contacting Christopher Daniels and then getting booked by QT Marshall, rather. He made it pretty clear to me that after appearing for several promotions throughout late 2020, he's hoping to land full-time with All Elite Wrestling, but he is open to a variety of options. We have a full-on interview with Danny Limelight coming up very soon. He is definitely one you guys want to keep your eye on. He is all over the place. When I say all over the place, he's worked like 7 All Elite Wrestling matches through the end of 2020. He's done a bunch of New Japan Strong stuff. He did the Super J Cup tapings. He did Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and UWN Primetime. And UWN had, they don't want us to say partnership, but they had that relationship with NWA. He did GCW in October. He has been all over the place. I know he did Impact in 2019 as well. So he's definitely somebody who's got the interest of a lot of people. Chelsea Green. Man, it seemed like when we ran that story in relation to her debut, it got a lot of people interested. And there were some like supplemental things that I kind of found out after that. I found out a lot about Chelsea Green's debut. Like, creative had a lot of different things for her, and just none of it ended up happening. But talking about the night that she got hurt, we learned that after she was injured, Vince McMahon was very indecisive about who would win that match. Originally, it was supposed to be Chelsea Green. Then it was supposed to be Tamina, then Natalya, before landing on Liv Morgan. So, obviously in that situation, you can't look at it like one of those, oh, Vince's old and indecisive type of things. The person that he had debut and that was supposed to win got hurt. You had to call an audible. It was live TV, and you had to make the right decision. I think you did make the right decision on that one. We heard some other side of one of Vince McMahon's decisions to not meet with Zelina. Now, I spoke to several wrestlers in the weeks following her release and about the fact that she wasn't granted an exit meeting with Vince McMahon. And most everyone that we heard from were not surprised by the fact that it happened. And we got stories from virtually everyone that we asked about planned meetings being delayed weeks and having to wait by his office for an hour at a time to get FaceTime with him. But one wrestler said that it did not instill a lot of confidence in them that Zelina had an actual concern over a hot-button issue and wasn't heard out and was promptly fired. A Raw wrestler mentioned that the shift over the last 9 months has been evident with WWE not letting disgruntled wrestlers go to releasing talent that have upside to firing people that just have grievances. In April, we saw a lot of people released that had indicated that they would like to be released or straight up ask for their release. Like, we saw a lot of that. So there were people on both sides of the coin, people that just weren't surprised, but they said, even though I'm not surprised, it does not instill a lot of confidence in this company that Zelina had something that was important to talk about and that she didn't get to. We have some contract news, Ring of Honor contracts. So we've had a lot of people curious as to how contracts are affected by the pandemic and what really happens with them. So Ring of Honor, we can say, a lot of people in Ring of Honor specified to us that in addition to the company treating them really well, they did not extend any of the contract time after being out of action for several months. We have not heard of WWE doing this either, but it should be noted that they don't have to do that immediately. If WWE so chooses, they can wait until late 2021 and be like, oh, well, you were out during this period of time, we're going to extend your contract. Like, they don't have to do it right then. Now, I have no reason to believe that WWE has done it. I don't know. Impact didn't do it. I can tell you they didn't do it because they just kept running. AEW hasn't done it that I'm aware of, but they didn't stop running at any point. Ring of Honor did stop running. MLW did stop running. But I have not heard of MLW or ROH doing that. I haven't heard of WWE doing it for anybody that sat at home. So, yeah, that's good news. I mean, good news for those who want their negotiating power to be affected by a certain period of time. We do have some more WWE contract news, though. There were several new contracts that were offered in mid to late 2020 that were said to have been disappointing in comparison to those handed out in 2019. That year, WWE was handing out huge money contracts in an effort to retain talent, with all the money being spent in wrestling, with AEW starting up and a lot of people leaving New Japan and MLW and ROH, there was like a whole lot of money to be spent in wrestling because there was an entire company spending money. So, you know, it's a cycle there. Someone told us that WWE is out of talent hoarding mode, which it was indicated in that previous report. And they were in talent hoarding mode for a long time. As a result, many of the contract offers for re-signing were well below what was offered last year. And this has led to at least a half a dozen talent to shuffle their feet or outright pass on signing new deals that were presented to them. Some that Fightful have spoken with have said that they're opting to wait until things get more normal to improve their situation because they don't want to accept the amount of money that's being offered right now, because the amount of money that's being offered right now reflects a pandemic state WWE, and they want the money that is reflected in a competitive WWE with fans and with a more certain business model. WWE has also said to have been open to this as well. We've heard of names across each brand that this applies to, but I did hear of one act that was offered a new deal, but they were also told, well, we can talk about this again around WrestleMania time if you're not comfortable with the amount of money or the amount of time or anything like that. Then there are others that you'd be shocked of what kind of deals they're on, both on the high pay scale and the low pay scale. But yeah, we've heard an awful lot about this of late. People aren't just rushing to sign their new deals yet. There's a lot of people that are going to wait and see how things end up. Matt Riddle seemed like he was one of those people. We have verified the terms of the contract that were recently reported in regards to Matt Riddle. From the information that we gained, he was made an initial offer and he didn't seem too interested, at least based on those in WWE. However, after the new terms were brought forward, he was expected to sign by the end of 2020, and he did do that. WWE were hopeful that he would sign before the calendar rolled over, and he eventually did. Prior to the re-signing, his contract was set to expire in August after he signed his initial contract in, I think, summer of 2018. This is a contract news-heavy episode of the Backstage Report. Zicky Dice is a free agent, and he's trained with multiple WWE superstars, not just Seth Rollins, who you guys know about, but other ones right now. He's been hanging around with Doc Gallows as well. And he told me that he's actually angling to get into All Elite Wrestling. He thinks that that's the place that he should be. I know that AEW at least has some interest based on those that I spoke to and are willing to give him a look, but I don't know when that would happen. I know that he moved out east. It's going to be a lot easier for them to book him if they so choose. It'll be easier for any wrestling company out here, Ring of Honor or Impact or AEW or WWE, to book him if they so choose, because he made the move from out west to Georgia. Probably a pretty wise move considering cost of living and where all the wrestling companies are right now. Zicky had indicated that he had heat with NWA World Champion Nick Aldis immediately upon entering the company, and that it didn't seem to subside. And he said that Aldis didn't like how he did a lot of things in the ring, like from an entertainment or a joking standpoint, but he was thankful for the platform that NWA provided and the friendships that he made along the way, noting that he still keeps in touch with most of that roster, especially Allison Kay and Ricky Starks. Said that Ricky Starks and he are still very, very close. But as far as the actual NWA deal, he said that he asked out of his NWA deal back in June. Now, this coincides with a report that we had put out, really, I think in the summer or fall, that multiple people had asked out of their deal back in June. Because there was an email that was released stating that if people didn't believe in the vision of the NWA, they could get out of their deals, which is what we kind of put out there in, I think, July is when we ran that report. So it's satisfying to know that we got the facts right on that one, or at least from that perspective. But he asked out of his deal, and NWA requested a non-disclosure agreement, which he claims included them and their families and all that. But he said that he didn't want to sign that, and he got a lawyer and knew that he'd be dropping the NWA TV title when he was booked for the UWN shows in the fall, which, standard business, he didn't seem to have any issue with that. So that the Pope, Elijah Burke, was very easy to work with and fun to work with, and pretty smooth in that regard. How about another one? How about Ethan Page confirmed that he is finished with Impact Wrestling and will be pursuing free agency? He seems open to WWE, AEW, and ROH if things are right, and indicated he'd work with Impact if it were under an Impact AEW partnership. But otherwise, he seems as good as finished with the company and ready to move on after contract negotiations did not end with the two sides coming to terms. But said that, yeah, there'd be no issue working with Impact if I ended up in AEW, and that's what they wanted me to do, and they wanted me to do, like, Ethan Page or the Karate Man in one company and vice versa. Seemed very excited about what was going to be next, but I do not know what is next. I know that there are companies with interest in him. I just don't know which companies those are right now. It was well known in Impact that he had pitched helping with agenting, producing, or other things to help bump up his money, but the two sides did not end up coming to terms. He'd been under a consistent contract since his days as Chandler Park and had re-signed during one of those periods to help extend his visa, but he can't work in the U.S. until he signs a new deal, as his visa is contingent on an Impact contract. I asked him, what do you think about A1? And he was like, well, I want to bring it back when fans can come back, because I don't think it's fair to not do that. And I see what he means, and that's his baby, so understandably so, but we wish the best to Ethan Page. He's a great dude, very entertaining dude. I always admire those types of people that don't just do one thing. He's out there doing social media. He's out there doing his own videos. He's out there creating new characters and new merchandise. I love the ambition. I love that type of stuff. So I think that Ethan Page is somebody that a lot of companies should be after. If I were Ring of Honor, I've said this time and time again, if I were Ring of Honor, I'd be after Ethan Page, I'd be after Zicky Dice, I'd be after Matt Cardona, Aiden English, and I'd try to keep EC3, because all five of those guys specifically are very, very entertaining characters, and they're very colorful, but they can all also work. Eva Marie. We finally have an update on Eva Marie. At one point, she was internally scheduled for Legends Night WWE Raw, but we can confirm that she was backstage at the December 14th Raw, dressed to do promos. She was brought back to the company in the fall and has not made her debut yet. I do not know in what capacity she is going to be in WWE. I don't know if she's going to wrestle. I don't know what any necessary or like any plans necessarily are. But I do know that she was backstage at the WWE Raw show on December 14th. So for everybody that's been asking, by golly, I found out for you. Let's get to the injury report. Never a fun thing to put out there, the injury report. Braun Strowman, he injured his knee on November 23rd. I was told WWE was hopeful they'd get him back in early January, but I don't know how severe it is. I haven't heard if he'll be back. He was also at one point planned for Legends Night, but we'll see how that goes. Sonya Deville back on SmackDown. That's great news. She lost a Loser Leaves WWE match in August at SummerSlam. So seeing her back, good deal. Seth Rollins was supposed to be back on the January 1st SmackDown. He was not. He's not back. Don't know what happened. I'm going to try to find out. Cameron Grimes sidelined 4 to 6 weeks. He had surgery in mid-December. Hoping he gets better soon. That's rough. Trent revealed that he had a partially torn pec and is set to miss months. That is very, very unfortunate. They had a very good year. Not necessarily even being in the title picture. Trent and Chucky did. And Orange Cassidy is a big YouTube draw for them. Alex Shelley. He's got an injury that took place at Bound for Glory 2020, but he is set to return at the Impact Hard to Kill show. Kylie Rae did not appear at the Impact Bound for Glory show that happened and is done with wrestling, but she's back on Cameo, which is good news. So go buy a Cameo from her, please. Maria Manic, I got some news on her coming this week. Sideline with a concussion, has not returned yet, but she's been around. I'll say that. Reminder that EC3, Flamita, Bandido, and Kenny King were pulled from Final Battle because of COVID protocol, which is very, very unfortunate. Contract update. So Pat McAfee's deal was supposed to be through at least 2020, and that's because he had signed a multi-year deal, quote unquote. I don't know what his status is as of right now. I have no idea. I'll find out. Jerry Lawler's deal that he most recently signed is set to expire January 10th, 2021. I do not know if he has signed a new deal or anything like that. So, Jerry Lawler, after decades, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? He is 71. Can't believe there's a lot left for him to do there. I'd imagine he's probably pretty well off in that regard. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Yuji Nagata, Rocky Romero, they were all at least through 2020. Don't know if they have picked up their deals or re-signed or anything like that. Ryu Lee, Kenny King, and Roosh over in Ring of Honor, same boat. Don't know if they have re-upped. January 2021 is for Taya Valkyrie, at least. She signed a two-year deal in 2019. So we'll see how that ends up with Hard to Kill coming up very soon. Jake Chris and Ethan Page's contracts both expired. We're hopeful that we can talk to Ethan eventually, but we're going to talk to Jake Chris very, very soon. Guys, thank you all so much. This is going to be a crazy week. This is going to be an insane week. Two nights of Wrestle Kingdom in the wee hours of the morning, Raw Legends Night, King of Coliseum, New Year Dash, a big AEW show, a big NXT show. We've got interviews dropping. We got all kinds of stuff. I'm working on a gigantic Royal Rumble feature, doing a bunch of interviews, and I've got some scoops coming your way. I got some fun ones, guys. Until next time, we're out.